It's my joy to share God's word with you. Yes. 7:30. Yeah. It's my joy to share with you from God's word again this morning from Psalm chapter 27. But before we turn there, I would like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'd like to share this brief passage because this is a chapter that I've been spending a lot of time on this summer, meditating on and thinking about. And I'm preaching my message from Psalm 27 out of some thoughts and direction I get from this chapter. And I'm only going to read a few verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So as I share and preach this morning, I'm mindful of the fact that the natural man does not receive the things of God, but the spiritual man does, as the Holy Spirit has been given to us to teach us and to help us receive what God has said to us. So let's be open to God teaching us, guiding us, and speaking to us through Psalm 27. So if you want to turn there, Psalm chapter 27. Before I read that, I want to ask you a question. And the question is this. Have you ever asked yourself questions in the course of a day? Do you ask yourself questions? Like, do you find yourself sometimes, you go down to the basement, and when you get there, you suddenly say, "Now, what did I come here for?" Yeah, have you ever done that? Have you ever asked yourself the question when something hasn't gone quite right and you all suddenly think, "Now, what was I thinking? Or where did I put that? Or where did my wife put it?" Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we ask ourselves questions. One of the funniest questions that I think I've heard lately is when somebody is considering doing something for the first time, they're not sure how it's going to go and so on, they ask themselves the question, "What could go wrong?" Well, we're going to look at a couple of questions this morning from Psalm chapter 27. They are two very important questions that King David penned that he must have asked himself regularly, and he also gave himself the reply to those questions. Psalm 27 is the psalm of contrasts, a psalm of comparing light and darkness, comparing courage with fear. So, Father God, as we read the scripture this morning, Lord, we understand that, Lord, you've given us the Holy Spirit to teach us. The natural man does not receive the things of God, for they are foolishness to him. But the spiritual man is taught by you. So, Lord, teach us. Help us to understand this spiritual truth by the work of your Spirit at work in our spirit, guiding us, teaching us, and speaking to us. Lord, in your precious name we ask it. Amen. Psalm 27, I want to read this psalm to you. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. May the Holy Spirit speak to us now as we consider this psalm together. This psalm probably was written again out of David's experience. Last week, John Grant spoke from Psalm 23 and gave a very good introduction about David's life and many of the scenarios in his life. And certainly there was a period in David's life that was very trying when he was on the run from King Saul and his army. David would often flee into the wilderness and hide there and try to avoid Saul's hunting army after him. And there were times, of course, when Saul was very close. You can read some of these accounts from 1 Samuel chapter 21 and following. There was a point at which David and his men were actually hiding in a cave, and Saul and 3,000 of his chosen warriors were just outside the cave. David and his men were trapped. They were surrounded. I don't know if you've ever been in a cave, deep into a cave, but literally the darkness can be overwhelming. But combine that with fear that you are trapped, that you're vulnerable, that you're in danger, may have been something that David and his men were definitely aware of. So this psalm, though it's not clearly said, may be written out of those kinds of experiences when a person feels trapped and surrounded. Now maybe you in your life today feel those kinds of situations in your life. Maybe you're not in a cave surrounded by an army, but maybe you feel like there are circumstances that have you sort of trapped, that you don't have the freedom and the opportunities that you have. Maybe the COVID virus has given you fears and restrictions in your life. Certainly, we're living in a time of tremendous financial stress. The agricultural community is under stress with all this extra moisture we've had. There's definitely family conflicts and relational pain going on. And, of course, some are dealing with failing health. This and a number of other situations can become overwhelming in our lives as we face the challenges that lay ahead of us. But here in Psalm 27, I believe David gives us words of direction, words of comfort, words of actual action that we can take in the face of paralyzing fear. And so in this psalm, there's some contrasts. The first contrast we can consider is the contrast between darkness and light. Darkness and light. What does darkness symbolize in our lives? It could definitely symbolize fear, discouragement, distress, confusion. It could symbolize perplexity or sorrow. It may symbolize even loneliness, weakness, ultimately leading to despair and seeing that there just seems to be no future ahead. On the other hand, light symbolically could symbolize things like comfort, companionship, peace, security, direction, joy, understanding, and of course, courage and hope for the future. And so in this contrast between light and darkness, David makes this very bold statement to start this psalm that he has written. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Last week when John preached from Psalm 23, we're very familiar with the first verse of Psalm 23. What is it? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So in some ways, Psalm 27 and Psalm 23 are similar in their opening statements. Bold declarations. Not just a declaration of what God provides, but a declaration of who God is. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my strength. David is proclaiming who Yahweh is and how David is experiencing Yahweh at work in his life. This can be the confidence that you and I can enjoy even ourselves today. As blood-bought sons and daughters of the King, those whom the Holy Spirit dwells in, we also can say in our confidence, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So David makes these two clear statements, and he challenges himself with those two questions. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? The implied answer is developed in the course of this meditation in Psalms 27, concluding with a statement of encouragement to wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. The answer to the questions in our lives, whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Can also be applied as we read these statements in Psalm 27 and see how David answered them himself. I think all of us have issues in our lives that can cause us fear. How will we address it? So in verse 2 and 3, David says clearly, when the wicked came against me to eat at my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army encamps against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, in this I will be confident. Now again, we may not have an army directly around us, but we do have circumstances and situations that often seem overwhelming. We also know that there is a spiritual battle that's around us all the time. For instance, Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, that Satan is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There is a battle going on all the time, attempting to crush your hope in the Lord, your confidence in Christ, and your encouragement in him. But as spiritually alive people, alive to God, and allowing his word to speak to us and guide us, we do not fight the enemy in a natural means, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of the Lord. And so in this psalm, David said, yes, though the enemy is encamped against me, and though they have surrounded me, there's one thing I put my focus on. Verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Now keep in mind that the temple in Jerusalem was not yet built at this time. For David was not the one who built it. It was his son Solomon. So David's not talking about the temple. He may have been referring, of course, to the old tabernacle, the tent of meeting that was used in the wilderness. I don't know if it was still structurally sound or not. That old tent must have been getting pretty shaky by the time David came around. There would have been places where people would meet to worship and so on. But I believe we can say without a doubt that David's worship experience also included times when he would commune with his Lord out in the fields, when he would relate to God and talk to God and worship God as he was out taking care of the sheep. Certainly Psalm 23 is an illustration of God, of David's relationship with his Lord from the framework of being a shepherd out in the wilderness. And so this morning, I want to look at this psalm as realizing that though we have places where we can gather to worship here, buildings in our land and so on, perhaps the hiding place, the secret place, the tabernacle of God that he's referring to here that we can apply in our lives is not so much coming to this building on a Sunday morning, but it's the place where we can commune with God in our own spirit, where we worship God. For Jesus paid the price for us to forgive us of our sins, to reconcile us unto the Father, and to send the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Paul said we are the temple of the Holy Spirit and that God lives in us. When we experience the life of God speaking to us, guiding us, giving us peace and comfort, we are communing with him in the tabernacle of his very dwelling place in our own hearts and lives. So folks, as I preach this message, this is my focus here this morning, that this dwelling place that David wanted to be in at all the day was not necessarily likely a physical location. It was actually the place of his communion with the Lord wherever he found himself, even when he was surrounded by the enemy. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the presence of the Lord. Notice a few of the words that are mentioned here in this dwelling place that he talks about here. There he wants to dwell. He wants to behold the beauty of the Lord. He wants to inquire of the Lord. And he wants to be hidden in the Lord. What a wonderful place of opportunity as we draw close to God and find our peace in him. Now, the intensity of this focused desire to be in that dwelling place, to commune with God, to worship him, to let him speak to us, to let him guide us, to let him direct us, really, it's really focused on how we would answer the question that the Lord would speak to us that's mentioned in verse 8. Go to verse 8. Beginning in verse 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer my prayer. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" Our Father in heaven, through the living word of God and the quiet voice of his Holy Spirit at work in our hearts, is calling us all the time. Seek my face. When in distress, seek my face. When surrounded by your enemies, seek my face. When feeling betrayed, misunderstood, not certain of what to do next, seek my face. How do we respond? Can we honestly say in the midst of our stresses and the circumstances that surround us that our response is, "Oh, your face, Lord, I will seek"? I got to be honest. That's not often my initial response. Often, when I am faced with challenging circumstances and situations, it's easy to be focused on those situations. It's easy to be caught up with flooded fields and flooded basements and not enough work. It's easy to be caught up with, you know, failing health. It's easy to be caught up with things that stand in our way. And really, my mind, my emotions, and my will often are not willing to stop and seek the Lord. Instead, I want to find solutions. I got to find answers. Or I might be wanting just to avoid it and so on. It's the old fight or flight response. I got to be honest, that's often my first response. Fight or flight. And yet, the Holy Spirit is wanting and guiding us all the time, saying, "Wait, wait, wait. Seek my face. Seek my face." In the midst of those pressing situations, what we need to do, brothers and sisters, push pause. Push pause and take time to enter into the secret place of the Lord in prayer and in listening and being open to him. The Holy Spirit invites us to enter the quiet and perhaps unfamiliar place of the dwelling place of the Lord, of worshiping him, of being slow in our hearts, slowing down our fight and our flight responses, and instead sitting in his presence, entreating him, seeking his face. What does it mean to seek the face of God? Well, it's more than asking for his help. It's more than petitioning him for deliverance. In the presence of God, before his face, we approach his throne. And we inquire of him to learn who he is and to experience his presence, his nature, his truth, his power in our lives. Before his face, before his throne, we will see his holiness. We will see him in love and in power and in sovereignty over all things. And there before his face, we fall in surrender and yieldedness to him. In the tabernacle of his presence, we behold his beauty. And we hide in the secret place of his covering presence. There we offer sacrifices of joy and sing praises to him from our inner man. In his presence, we will also need to humble ourselves. In his presence, all of our plans, all of our intentions, all of the thoughts and the intents of our heart are focused, are made evident, exposed before him. And there we need to confess. Confess all of the sin, confess all of the stubbornness, all of the doubts and fears that often rise up in our minds and our actions. And there in the presence of the Lord, we just wait. And you know what? As we seek his face, God first wants to change us before he changes our circumstances. He wants to change us. Certainly, as New Testament saints, as we seek the face of the Lord, we will also seek God incarnate in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the one who shows us most clearly who God, who our Heavenly Father is. The Holy Spirit brings us, teaches us, guides us into the knowledge of the Lord in the face of Christ, as Keith read in one of those scriptures this morning. When we say yes to seeking the face of God, we turn to Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, and the Holy Spirit leads us. Even if... and guides us and directs us. And then, of course, David says here, even if our father and mother forsake us, the Lord will watch over us. Even if the people we most would want to hope and expect protection and relationship from, even if they forsake us, the Lord is still our refuge. A real quick illustration of how this is lived up. Think of Paul and Silas, Acts chapter 16. They're in Philippi. They're preaching the gospel there. A servant girl has a demon cast out of her. Her owners and the town rise up against them. Paul and Silas are whipped and beaten. They're thrown into the inner prison of the Philippian jail, feet in stocks, backs bleeding. And what are they doing at midnight? Singing psalms to the Lord. This to me is a wonderful illustration of being in that tabernacle, being in the pavilion, the worship place of the Lord. Was that Philippian jail cell a very worshipful environment? Aesthetically, it needed more than a paint job, I'm sure. All right? But there, as they just commune with the Lord, opening their spirit to God in worship and in praise, God met them there. I believe this is what David is wanting us to think about in Psalm 27. No matter your situation, no matter your circumstances, one thing let us desire, that we may live a life of communion, relationship, and worship in the Lord, letting him be the one who changes us even before he changes our circumstances. To conclude here in Psalm 27, as you can read through it, the natural progression then goes down to verse 11, where as David seeks the face of the Lord, then he prays, "Teach me, Lord, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path." So David does pray for direction. He does pray for insight into decisions and directions that he needs to make, but it comes out of seeking the face of the Lord first. And so David says, "I would have lost heart." He's honest. "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." He said, "I anticipate to see God's hand of favor, God's hand of life, strength, and hope, even as I live my life. So wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." The Lord is our light, our salvation, and our strength. Whom shall we fear? Whom shall we fear? It's the diagnostic of where we stand in the Lord. God, you're bigger than all this stuff. God, you're bigger than any circumstance. You're bigger than any situation. Whom shall we fear? So, Psalm 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Can I encourage you this morning in a very practical way? Practice saying that sentence, that verse, out loud. Say it out loud. Practice letting it become something that rolls off the tip of your tongue. Here's a few reasons why. First of all, you need to hear it yourself. Your own ears need to hear you saying it out loud. It's an exercise of your will expressing your faith in the Lord. Say it to yourself. The more you say it to yourself, the more likely it will become your initial default response in troubling situations. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Say it when you face difficult situations. Say it when the tractor's broke down or stuck in the mud. Say it when you've got situations at home. Say it out loud. Say it when you walk into fearful situations. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. You know, as we say it out loud, it becomes an ingrained part of us, and the Holy Spirit can take that and make it our natural response to situations. Say it to the circumstances of your life that seem to be encircling you and threatening your demise. Can I encourage you? I think we could have even tougher times coming yet, folks. There could be tougher times yet. We need to be practicing. Practice now. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Practice saying it in the face of difficult circumstances. I believe we speak it out in the spiritual battles that rage around us, when the enemy wants to come and say, you are foolish trusting in the Lord. You're foolish to put your confidence in God. What can be one of our responses? No. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Say it out loud, even in the face of doubt and attack. And then say it out loud as part of your testimony. When people ask you and say, how are you doing? Well, the Lord is my light and my salvation. It can be the words that give you a springboard of testimony of your faith and confidence in the Lord. And say it out loud to the glory of God, that he might be honored and glorified in our lives. Brothers and sisters in Christ, David here in Psalm 27 gives us a pathway, a direction of how we can live our lives in the face of encroaching fears. It is by coming into the tabernacle of the Lord, the place of communion and worship, and enjoying who he is, letting him change us, and then letting him work in our situations. Now, my challenge to you is this morning, as I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning, if you are saying in your thoughts, that's crazy, that's a stupid way to deal with problems, that may be the natural man wanting to rule out the truth of God's word active in our lives. I want to encourage you, open your heart to the Holy Spirit as you reread Psalm 27 this week, as you think about how to apply it in your life, and let the Spirit of God make it real to you. I'd like to pray together now. Father in heaven, thank you for your near presence to us through your word, through the Holy Spirit alive and working in our spirit, and helping us, Lord, to set our mind, our emotions, and our will on the truth of who you are and of what you have declared to us from the scriptures. Holy Spirit, I invite you to lead us to, Lord, practice declaring, speaking out the truth of your word, so that, Lord, not only will our physical ears hear it, but, Lord God, our spirit and our very default response to life's challenges may be more and more aligned with Psalm 27, verse 1, a statement of confidence in the Lord and your direction and provision for us. Father God, there's lots of situations around us right now where people are struggling. And Lord, we do pray, Lord God, that you will draw people unto yourself. Lord, those struggling, Lord, in this agricultural situation, Lord, with all the moisture, financial situations, Lord, health issues, a number of people that we're aware of, people facing transitions and changes, Lord God, plans going awry. Lord, in all of these things, I pray, Holy Spirit, lead us to the tabernacle of the Lord, the hiding place, the secret place, of Lord worship and communion and trust in you. Holy Spirit, may you guide us and lead us, Lord, to follow, to listen, to worship, to Lord, let you be Lord in every situation. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Can you stand with me? We're just going to play that song as a prayer to conclude with here this morning. May it be your prayer in the secret place, the hiding place of the Lord this morning.